turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24, as I continue to preach in your hearing, a fickle, finicky, and foolish acting generation. Part 11. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign. Day 960, since January the 20th. Day 1254, since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. The Holy Word of God reads, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. As I have pointed out to you, God wants us to repent. This is his main point. Repent or perish. Somebody said, turn or burn. Up or down. In or out, heaven or hell, it's up to you, it's your choice. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If you will, woe unto thee, New York City. Woe unto thee, Dallas, Texas. Woe unto thee, San Francisco, California. Woe unto thee, America. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment." Please remember, a day of judgment is coming. "Than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Ghost and how it helps us to understand it very clearly. We praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your love, your grace, and your long-suffering with us. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are truly saved, Lord, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you, even publicly at this time, right before the message, for Jesus Christ's sake, as we have already done it. But Lord, I like the idea of doing it right before the message as well. So for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Wash and cleanse our hearts afresh and anew, whiter than snow on the inside. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit tonight. Grant me fresh unction and anointing of your Holy Spirit. For we are reminded from your holy word tonight, it is not by might nor by power, that is human strength, human ingenuity, human eloquence, but by your Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Father God, we realize tonight that if your Holy Spirit, your Holy Ghost, does not move upon the hearts of the hundreds of people who are gathering on and to us, on us here, nothing worthwhile, nothing lasting will happen here tonight. No souls will be saved. No Christians will be revived and inspired to go on for you and to do your work and your will. So, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, Lord, we are constantly under satanic attack, and it's getting thicker and thicker and worse and worse from the outside and from the inside. And Lord, I pray that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas out of the people who have the problem of the Judas spirit in their lives. The spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, they don't love you as they should, and they don't want anybody else to love you. They don't want your work to go forward and to be successful, and that's why they don't rejoice when it is successful. And because you can make it successful all by yourself, and you have done so. And so we still pray for 3 million souls to hear the gospel and to come to know your Savior through this ministry alone. We pray for millions more, billions more, to come to know your Savior before it is all said and done. We pray for 3 million souls, Christians, to be revived again, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from their wicked ways, to humble themselves, and to get back to you, Lord Jesus, their first love. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Dr. Robert Jeffress, no matter what you think about him or what you feel about him, that does not matter with what we're talking about tonight. It does not matter whether or not tonight you are a Trump supporter or a person who hates Trump. We're talking about repentance on both sides. No matter who you think you are, you probably need to repent and get your heart right with God. From the preacher and the priest in the pulpit all the way to the back door where the ushers are, everybody needs to repent and get their heart right with the Lord. And that's what this passage is about. And basically, quite frankly, that's what the entire Bible is about: repenting and trusting Christ as Savior. Light in the back. Dr. Robert Jeffress said, and by the way, we quote people. As long as they're telling the truth, we quote them, no matter how people feel about them. We quoted Oprah the other day. Some of y'all hate her, so don't worry about it. He said, "The love of God has no meaning whatsoever unless you understand the judgment of God that all of us deserve." Pioneers were making their way across one of the central states to a distant place that had been opened up for homesteading. They traveled in covered wagons, and progress was slow. One day they were horrified to see a long line of smoke in the west, and soon the dried grass was burning fiercely and coming toward them rapidly. They had crossed a river the day before, but it would be impossible to go back to that before the flames would be upon them. They were in trouble. Only one man seemed to have understanding as to what could be done. He gave the command to set fire to the grass behind them. Then, when a space was burned over, the whole company moved back upon it. As the flames roared on toward them from the west, a little girl cried out in terror, "Are you sure we shall not all be burned up?" The leader replied, "My child, the flames cannot reach us here, for we are standing where the fire has been." What a picture of the believer who is safe in Christ. The fires of God's judgment burned themselves out on him, and all who are in Christ are safe forever and forever. For they are now standing where the fire has been. Beloved, in our last message, we saw how Jesus denounces those who do not repent, particularly in light of him being there and what he has done in their sight. Now we see how Jesus mourns for those who do not repent, or has a burden for those who do not repent, or he is moved, if you will. It's kind of like a father who has a rebellious and stubborn son. The father warns him harshly in a very strong manner, but at the same time, the father loves his son and wants him to repent and confess his sins, because the father knows he's just going to end up destroying himself. Jesus says in verse 21, "Woe unto thee," he uses the word woe, "woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Woe." Dr. Ray Fowler said Chorazin and Bethsaida in his message for those who don't repent were two Galilean towns that were close to Capernaum, which is where Jesus set up his ministry headquarters. Bethsaida was the hometown of three of Jesus's disciples: Peter, Andrew, and Philip. Jesus restored a blind man's sight at a place just outside the ancient village of Bethsaida. The miraculous feeding of the 5,000 also happened near Bethsaida. Chorazin is only mentioned in the Bible here and in the parallel passage in Luke, but it is also mentioned in the Talmud. Archaeologists have suggested two possible locations for this city, while theologian John Lightfoot has suggested that Chorazin was an area near Cana of Galilee. The Holy Bible does not mention Jesus visiting Chorazin anywhere. But we are also told that this was one of the cities where Jesus performed most of his miracles. Most of his miracles. If Cana is nearby, as was mentioned, he performed one of his first miracles, the turning of water into wine. It only goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, how much the Gospels, if you will, leave out of Jesus' three-year ministry. Some say three-and-a-half-year ministry. As John says at the end of his gospel, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. John 21:25. So here are two of the towns where Jesus performed most of his miracles. And Jesus pronounces a woe upon both of them. The word is not only a verdict of doom, but it is also a cry of mourning. And of course, he mentions Sodom, Capernaum, Bethsaida. But I want to repeat in your hearing what I said to you about woe. The word is not only a verdict of doom, but it is also a cry of mourning. One of those words that has more than one meaning. Dr. Jack Wellman said the word woe is often used to express grief, regret, not only judgment, but feeling sorry for somebody, misfortune, or grievous distress stated from such a great affliction of some sort, or being in such trouble that an escape out of it seems impossible. So you warn the people and you say, woe, because the judgment is coming, the pain is coming, the hurt is coming, but at the same time, you are so sure that it's coming, you feel sorry for the people. Probably only prophets, pastors, Christian counselors, and parents are people who feel this in our modern time. Jesus felt it back then. I'm here. The Messiah is here. I'm working miracles in your very sight. And yet you won't repent and turn to me. Do you understand there's a hell coming? Do you understand that the wrath of God is coming? Do you not understand that you're condemned already? And yet you won't repent and trust in your Messiah. I'm announcing and making it clear to you that judgment is coming upon you, But at the same time, I feel sorry for you. I don't want to see this happen to you. But if you don't repent, I can't help you. Can you imagine the Son of God, Jesus Christ, knowing all that God has done for these people? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son of God, knowing that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that he left his privileged position at the right hand of God to be here with you to work these miracles, and yet you will not repent. You will not trust me as Savior. You see me no more than a traveling roadshow. And being the Son of God, knowing exactly the hell that they will suffer in forever and forever, day after day. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, a woe is almost beyond description, and words fail us, so a woe may be the only thing we can say to express our feelings, very much like when we groan. The biblical definition is even more woeful. The word woe in the Greek is O-U-A-I. I'm not even going to try to say it. Because it's rather difficult. And is more than just an expression of a feeling. Woe is a judgment, as we read in the book of Revelation. It means alas, or almost like oh no. When the word woe is used, it is quite possibly signifying impending doom, condemnation, because we're condemned already outside of Christ, and or the wrath of God. Jesus used the word woe more than anyone else in the Holy Bible. As one preacher put it, there is a well in the woe. So not only does Jesus condemn and pronounce judgment upon those who do not repent, but he also mourns for them because of the judgment that is coming. Now, dear friend, you've heard God's woe. You know what it means. Jesus Christ pronounced judgment on these cities because they refuse to repent. But at the same time, he had a heart of compassion for them. He knew they were going to hell, as I mentioned already in St. John chapter 3. Jesus tells people, we're already condemned. We're condemned already. We're already condemned to judgment. That's why we need to repent and trust Christ as Savior. And Jesus Christ preached about this judgment and preached about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. He knew all about it. In fact, he talked about how that really he did not create hell for human beings. He created hell for the devil and his angels. But if you look like the devil and act like the devil and disobey like the devil, you will go to hell with the devil And yet with that knowledge, you refuse to repent. You refuse to turn around and trust Christ as Savior. Now tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I, and so has the Pope. So has Joel Osteen. All of us, we all are guilty. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We all have sinned against God. And we're already condemned. That's why we need to repent and trust Christ as Savior. Or trust Christ as Savior and repent all at the same time. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sin. You say, well, preacher, what is sin? Let me help you. Lusting after people and things. Lying about things, stealing things, disobedience to parents, dishonoring parents, taking God's name in vain, and we die because of our sin. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. And that leads me to my third point. Dear friend, since you're condemned already, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place. That's my point in sharing this with you. As I have told you, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And sadly, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers living today. Hell is a very real place, and you need to repent. You need to trust Christ as Savior tonight. And if you trust Christ as Savior, He will help you to repent. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is in hell, but have everlasting life. So if you want to be saved tonight, just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus Christ. You will never understand it all But you need to thank God for it all and just simply have faith in Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer right now, right where you are. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to be a member of a church to be saved. You don't have to sing in the choir to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't even have to get baptized to get saved. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you. Call on his name and he'll save you. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I understand that I'm condemned already. I have lied. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have stolen things. I've lied before. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things before. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I've taken your holy name in vain. And many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died for my sins. As the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. That he was buried and that he rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we'll pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.